So guys, tonight we're going to just have feedback from the conference. Did everyone get the email? Does anyone like amp to say something? Don't all rush up at once. So we just wanted to have this time of people coming to share the stuff that...
Any announcements?
Maybe explain first.
Jesus, go
on. Oh, okay. JC, who?
The back there.
Jace, do you want to say something?
Lynn, when are you going to start again? No pressure, I mean.
Yeah, no. I think we can have a few meetings, but the actual.
She's 13. She's been going to Chapel Street Primary School, and we've known her since we've moved into Woodstock, and she's always been had just an amazing attitude towards life and really well-mannered and well-brought up. And it's always been her dream to be a doctor, and now she's going to high school. She really, really wants to go to good high school.
Wow.
So we're looking to apply for her to go to St. Susie because it's easy to get there, the taxi and the ticket school, and she wants to go to all girls school. So I just wanted to bring it before you guys to pray about if you feel like you'd like to invest in her education. You can come and speak to me to find out more about it and find out more about her. Because there's a few of us who are really keen to support her, but the more who want to get behind her, like, the better. So just if you are interested, even if it's just to like help her buy a uniform or something once off, or if you want to commit to like term the amount or whatever, then please speak to me. And just think about it and pray about it. And the other thing is that Claire Diade and I are running a training course called Shine for girls. So basically the course will be run in Woodstock for high school girls, and teaching them about their worth and all these wonderful things about being women and practical things. And we want as many of you who are interested to come along, and we'll speak to you about it, and then if you can decide from there if you want to actually be involved in running this course. It's an 8-week course, and we just meet 1 hour a week, and we'll decide on a time and everything that suits, that'll be best. So we're going to do that next week at 3:30 on Sunday. So we'll send out an email, but it'd be lovely if like all of you guys can come, because you all would have a lot to give to girls at Woodstock. So think about it and hopefully see you next week.
Okay, cool. So 2 weeks ago, if you went at our church, we hosted a guy from America called Benjamin Dunn, and he came and spoke to us for 3 days. And just tonight, we're going to have an open mic for people at the conference to come and just give testimony to what God showed them during the conference. And we really want you please to come up and share. Just testimony is so powerful because it's from the heart and it's how it's impacted your life. And we're going to leave the mic here and anyone can come up and share. So don't be scared. There's no ways you couldn't have been impacted by those 3 days unless you were sleeping under a chair or something. So, yeah, just, I'm not going to say anything yet. I might say something just now. But it was flipping awesome. I haven't even let it sink in yet. That was just amazing. And I really hope, yeah, you've got something to share for us. So who's going to go? Josh. Who wants Josh?
I want you. How's it, guys? How's it, Haley? Nice to be here. It was an amazing time. It was quite awesome for us because Gaz and I and some of the other guys have been following him for quite a while. And his wild YouTube clips that he's posted online with a little lamb in the meadow and him running after the lamb. It's quite outrageous. I'll tell you that what really impacted me. I had this picture. I'll start a little bit further back. I've come in grown up in a culture of sort of self-sacrifice. So my father laid down his time with us to rather work and to provide for us. And if you ask my dad, he really loves coffee. If you ask him, do you want a coffee? And there's a whole lot of other people around, he'll go, only if there's enough, I'll have. So he'll be like the last in line to receive. And it's really been a time for me of learning my worth in Christ. And for those of you who know me, I really enjoy, one of my favorite movies of all time is The Matrix. And the reason I really love it, because there's two parallel universes, or two parallel sort of realities that are living together. And everybody's living this ordinary reality that's dictated by everyone around them. And then comes this reality of the kingdom of God that's around us. And I love thinking about it and watching movies like that, because it helps me to think deeper and imagine things. And there's so much that's available to us. And God has, through this weekend and through unveiling different things in the Bible to me, realizing exactly who I am and realizing what God's done and my worth. So if somebody asks, do you want coffee? I'm going to say, yes, I definitely want coffee, and I'll be first in line because I'm worth it. Because
yes. Yeah.
So it's quite hard to articulate just how awesome this thing is. And I think that's why it's so important that us as a community, it's been about 4 years of me being here. And the first thing that I noticed was that everyone, when I came from a boys' school, and people always cut each other down. So you never say anything positive about the other person. It's always negative, and that became the absolute standard. And in this community, it's always been absolute positive. And in that positivity as well came a sort of a translation where telling me who I am and what I'm worth. So this is also, for me, it's been a new understanding of how I operate at work. God wants the absolute best for me. How can I not succeed?
Yes.
He is an almighty, all-powerful Father. How can I not in this life succeed? Mm-hmm. I've seen in times, in reflecting these last 2 weeks, in times where you go into a sort of a slump or a kind of a depression, and you actually remain there far longer than you should, because it's a feeling of, this is what I'm worth, and this is what I should actually be like groveling along here, because this is what my worth is. I realize that that is not what my worth is. My worth is extremely high. God sees me extremely awesome.
Yes. Yeah?
So I think Ben was Ben unlocked a lot of that in us. And also just one more. Give you on Saturday night, we went to a guy called Ian Buchanan's house in Steenberg, and Ian Silverhurst, And we sat in the cellar, and Ian had wines that were from 1982 and 1984. The bottles of wine that were worth probably between 5,000 and 10,000 rand each. And he just started, we just drank this wine, kept on drinking this wine. We must have drank about 100,000 rand worth of wine between a couple of us. And just the mind shift between us, none of us actually even realized, if you brought a Chateau Libertas in that, we probably wouldn't even know the difference. But that was just a picture of God's absolute goodness. You know, God, can I have the 1950 French wine? He said, absolutely, of course. You know, what's mine is yours. And just shedding the older brother mentality of what I've worked for in this life is my lot, and these are my boundaries. Don't come and ask me to borrow my jersey, because, you know, I don't want to have to wash it after you. But it's just the boundaryless life that God has given us.
Yes.
And we must really, and I, as a church, we must just keep telling each other, we've got to live into that.
Yes.
We've got to know what your worth is, because it's
hectic.
Mm. And one more thing.
No,
I had a picture of, in that cellar, a guy called Dave, he said to me, he said to everyone, his idea, the hyper grace, is coming to a bring and bry, bringing the Borevors and eating the fillet. And that's it's actually true, because, you know, God has invited us to this bring and, well, not even to a bring and bry, but people bring, because I think I need to bring something. I've got to bring what I'm, you know, what. And you bring your Borevors, and you don't want to eat anybody else's food or God's massive fillet that he's prepared for you, because you brought your Borevors and you've worked for that Borevors. And you're going to sit there and eat your Borevors while everyone's getting the most awesome wine, awesome fillet, awesome salads, for my wife. It's an absolute, it's a mind shift. And I had another picture, very similar to that, in the week of God coming with a massive gift. Because asking him about how can good things always be around the corner? How can we sing that? But it really is, because God's coming, I saw him coming with a huge, beautiful gift for me. And then a little something, a little devil or whatever, coming and putting a little black box next to the little black box gift. And me thinking, you know, God, I'm not worth this big thing in front of me. I need to take this small, whatever's come next to it, because of believing what I'm worth. I think we do that so often. And we spend so much time in deeper depressions because we think that's what we're worth. And we spend so much time in terrible jobs because we think that's what we're worth. And we don't believe God can provide anything bigger for us. So, let's step into that.
Let's try and do like prophetic testimony. So anyone feel like it's their thing that they want to say, follow on from that. Come on. Okay, awesome. Did anyone feel like what they want to say follows on from that? Come up now and we keep the momentum.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. It sort of follows on from that. Just two things. First thing, the story of the prodigal son and the way that Ben explained that, with the prodigal coming back to the father, and then before he can even utter the words out of his mouth of how the process he's going to go through to become accepted in the father's household. He's going to start as a slave and then work his way up and then to maybe be accepted. And before he can even utter the process of how he's going to be reconciled with the father throws the coat on him and puts a ring on his finger and calls for the calf to go to the chopping block. I was thinking about that, and I was like, wow, you know, so many times we like the prodigal, I'm like a prodigal son in my thinking of, okay, Lord, I'm feeling a bit dry, or I've just sinned, or I need to come back to you. And then I start thinking in my mind the process of how I'm going to go through this process of now coming to God. And I know my mind that's not true, because God just accepts and he welcomes. But it was an amazing time. I felt that it actually went from my mind to my heart of, you know, Jesus is the process. It's a bit of a cliche, but it is the truth. You don't need to have a process of coming back to God and being reconciled with him. He is the process. So you just yeah, it was amazing, very refreshing. Then the other thing was, often in my life, I think of what next exciting thing is around the corner. So if it's a holiday to look forward to, or if it's you know, a rugby game we're going to watch, or just spending time with friends or something like that. So when I'm like waking up and I'm feeling a bit bummed in the morning or whatever, and I just like wrap my mind of what's to come, what like future cool things, and to give me some hope. And I was just like over the weekend, and also it's been like a thing of the last couple of months, but over the weekend also sort of cemented it in that if this reality of God's goodness is actually true, then there should be ecstasy in every available in every moment of every
yes.
time.
Yes.
So, like, I was thinking, how's that possible? You know, my ecstasy has often come through thinking of great things in the future, of like when I'm going to get a promotion or whatever. But it's actually irrespective of any circumstance in your whole life. Doesn't matter where you are, there is ecstasy available to you right now.
Yes.
The ecstasy of Christ.
Yes.
And then I was just like, wow, yes. If that's possible, then joy should not be. I mean, I know joy is not dependent on any circumstance and your place, but it's absolutely not dependent on any circumstance or your way or where you feel you are with God. Because as a believer, Christ is in you, and therefore ecstasy is in you and is available at every moment and every time.
Yes.
So those are the two things. Now, I just felt one other thing that maybe, I don't know if someone, I felt during worship that verse where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But then I was like, yeah, Lord, that's, yeah, I know that. And then he showed me, I think it's for some people, maybe a few people here, that it's particularly freedom from blandness. I really felt that. Like you're thinking,
yes.
You know, just everything's so bland. And then you might be thinking, yes, but if the Spirit comes, and then I might look like a crazy person, like I saw at that conference, and they're rolling around. But then I really felt God saying that my Spirit is going to come into your soul and open up new doors where you haven't even unlocked in
yes.
the depths of your soul. And so, no fear if that's for you. There's no fear of looking weird. But there is so much freedom from blandness.
Yes.
So take it if that's for you.
I just want to share my two things quickly because it's following on. The biggest thing that struck me what Ben said was something I'd been experiencing in my own life, and I was almost nervous to like agree with it. He talked about confidence as sons and daughters. And he said there comes a natural confidence when you realize that you're a son of God or your daughter of God. A natural confidence. That I always thought maybe it would seem like an arrogance, that, you know, suddenly things aren't bugging you and you've got confidence to go forward. But I was just thinking on that today, and the reality is that you've died and you've risen in Christ, and you're in union with Mr. Brilliant, Mr. Success,
yeah.
Mr. Perfection.
Yeah.
So if you actually, you've got to start agreeing that
yeah.
should give you such confidence because of who you're in union with.
Yeah.
You're in union with Mr. Success. So you should be expecting success in your own life. So there comes this awesome confidence you start to feel in yourself. And it's not an arrogance. And, you know, there's two extremes we can go to. We can go to an arrogance, and we can go to that false humility. We want to keep ourselves down in case maybe God will throw us a crumb. And that's also wrong. So there's actually this beautiful medium where we know who He is inside of us. And those who are joined to the Lord are one Spirit. And He is in union with Him. And so there is that confidence. There's that expectation.
Yeah.
So I was just so set free to say, yes, I've been feeling that, and I agree with that. So that was cool for me. And then another thing that really struck me was in another time, it wasn't in the weekend, I was just spending some time with Ben, and he showed me something out of the book. And if you go and read the parable of the prodigal son, that's why I wanted to follow on, the father talks about the fatted calf. And if you go back to in that time, they actually used to put a calf in a stall, and its only purpose was to sit there and eat and eat and eat, and I'll get fatter and fatter and fatter. And there was only one purpose, to be slaughtered for a party. And it's a picture of Christ. That the purpose of Christ was to be slaughtered for a party and a celebration. And that is the purpose of Christ. And so when we think, yes, no, this, we're having too much fun, or, you know, this buzz we're on at church needs to come down because we're going to Monday, we can fall back on the fact that the purpose of Christ is party, yeah, is celebration. And yeah, every single one of the parables end with celebration. The lost coin, the lost sheep, go and read them. It's almost like the Gospels are shouting out. That's what God, his whole point was, party, yeah, celebration. And we need to be set free out of old mindsets and say, I want that. That's who you are, God. And it takes quite a step of faith to say that's what God's about, party. How can he be about that? Surely there are more serious things that he's worried about. Cool. Who's next?
Me.
Yes.
It's always, you have to get nervous when I get a microphone. I always say dodgy things. So, you know, I just like listening to the guys, and it's so exciting to be in community with strong men. When I was a child, the devil whispered in my ear, and he told me, I can't smile and I can't laugh. It's like a bad thing. So whenever I was filled with joy or I laughed, I felt guilty. Like, properly guilty for being joyful. And in high school, when girls and guys would laugh, I'd get angry. Mm. I'd be like, why are you laughing? It's so irritating. Like, get with it. Like, get real. People are dying in the world. long story short, I also was receptionist when I was younger. And I'd hate smiling at people. I was like, why do I have to be a receptionist? People used to walk in the door and I have to smile at them. Like, and I've got the best fake smile ever. Like, the best fake smile ever. The best one. Because I used to hate it. And then, it was incredible. Someone came up to me and said that the Lord is going to deliver you from the lies that Satan has told you.
Yes.
And he did. He delivered me, and he's given me so much joy. But it's been a process. It's also given me a very, very silly husband. He does the most craziest things, and I love him so much, and he really makes me laugh. And, you know, just being here over the weekend with Ben and talking about laughter and really just embracing joy to its fullest.
Yes.
You know, just embracing ecstasy.
Yes.
And that ecstasy is a gift from Jesus.
Yes.
Mm. I just love that. And to be able, so that was one thing. The other thing was to be able to live in community and just be was great. And just to, with the kids, they come and knock on my door, and then I go sit in the park with them, and I don't have to like tell them about Jesus. I just have to just chat with them, and they're chatting to Jesus. And that was, yes, really great. Just that, you know, when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to Jesus, and vice versa. Yes. That's so, just so exciting. Yeah. This morning I woke up, I had a dream, and then I woke up in that order. And I had a dream. I was walking in a field, and the snake came, and I knew it was Satan. And I picked up my boot, and I, you know, if I see a snake, I'm going to run away from it in reality. So I was scared, and I stood there, and I picked up my boot, and I stood on its head.
Yes.
And I crushed it.
Yes.
And it was like, there was fear in me, but at the same time, there was like this victory, like I had to do this. I had to stand on the snake's head.
Yes.
And you know, I'm just so excited that we, especially as women, have been given the authority and the power to stand on Satan's head.
Yeah. All right.
And especially with the young women in our community.
Yes.
That we've been given this authority as women, yeah, to stand, yeah, on Satan's head and say, no more, you can't.
Yes.
So I'm just so excited about living living here and just taking God's victory again, and but in a victorious way,
yeah.
But in a peaceful, joyful, filled with ecstasy type of way.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Sensation that God is our Father, and so Kirstie, what you've just said makes me want to just share it. It's too simple sometimes for a lot of people because they want all the incense and all the fancy stuff and the miracles, etc., and they don't acknowledge the miracle of the fact that God is our Father.
Yes.
And that whole thing of, if you just relate it to a human relationship, how would you feel if your child denied you? If your child said, I have no part of you in me?
Yes, very good. Yes.
So when we say to God, you're not in us, we don't have that confidence that Jesus is in us, that we are fully God, in a sense.
Yes.
Because we think we sound arrogant by saying that. We think that we're putting on airs and graces and that people are going to say, but I mean, we think we're making ourselves God, but in fact, we're making ourselves God by denying Him. And I love that picture that Ben had of what is humility, what is not humility, what is grace and faith. It is not scrabbling, trying to get there. It is just complete surrender, just lying back. And He even did that. He just lay back and He said, that is what grace is and that is what faith is. It's just accepting that God is there, whether He's going to catch you or... And every gift that He gives us, imagine if you as a parent want to give your child a gift and he says, no, I can make a better one for myself. Or, I've got money, Dad, I can buy my own. How would you feel? And we are so much like that with God. We don't want to take His gifts. We don't want to be His children sometimes. We are afraid. And then the last thing that I felt so strongly about was that we fill our heads with so much stuff that just holds us back from being who God wants us to be for other people. So you were talking about the depression and the not feeling worthy. It's all, forgive my language, bullshit, because it holds us back from actually reflecting God. And from being that joyous presence and being able to love people and share God's love. If we're so self-involved with, are we worthy, aren't we worthy? That is so much more arrogant. And
Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
The one thing that got me about Sunday with Bendan, like when somebody says they used to smoke, read the Revelations after getting high, that is somebody who's been very, very real. So he said a couple of things which actually got to me. The first one goes to what you said. It says the gospel does not acknowledge our performance or efforts. It's like a fat kid on the beach that doesn't have regard for our sandcastles.
Yeah.
So, do I need this?
No, yes, go. It's
nice. Okay, cool. So, and also, it goes back, to, and also at the end, he said, like, God is not a tame lion who we take on a leash once in a while. Because us as Christians, it's like, we have this jungle of the world. And then we're like, in the morning, you put God on a leash, it's like, God, let's go to work today. Like, sit, roll over. But, like, in honesty, if, like, we let God be God, if we unleash the lion, he'll tear out all the opposition. He'll tear out everything that stands in our way.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that, like, stood out. It's like, because Jesus said that without me, you're nothing. Like, you're living in a false reality.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and that's, like, something just stood out, like, building our own small sand castles and be like, God, this is my kingdom, this is my own little castle. Like, it's not going to cut it with God. And the second thing he said that really struck me is like, you know, like the joke in Dark Knight is like, why so sad? It's like, Jesus was asking the people in the road to Emmaus, why so sad? And that's something that struck me, like, with Ben. It's like, God is fun. God is really, really fun. I grew up with the attitude that God is like, don't sin. Like Jesus was like very stone-faced, never laughing, like, you know, like a very controlled laughter, ha-ha, that was funny. You know? But like, the thing that got me was like, God is fun, like how fun is our God?
Yes.
And one of the arguments I've had about people why they don't like Christianity is like, why you get so sad and bitter? Like, why do you like look gloomy? But, and like, and just following that, like God has been working that in the week. And he brought me to this part where it's like, what is faith? What is really faith? Because I've Hebrews 11:1 says, "No, faith is assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." So building up from the fact that God is fun, it's like I realized that God is good. Like, this is faith. I never knew what faith was until now. I thought like faith was like you sit and concentrate, you're going to have enough faith.
Yes.
But like just going through the Bible and people. God commending people of having faith. They had faith in God's goodness. It's like, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, my friends are dying, but God is good. I'm still going to obey God. Because faithlessness is being like, God, I'm hungry, my people are dying, forget you, I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Not having faith is being like, oh God, I'm not married, my boyfriend left me, my girlfriend left me, forget you, I'm going to do my own thing. Faith is being like, despite every good thing I have, every bad thing I have, God is good, and I'm going to obey you, God, despite of my outside circumstances, because God, you are good, and I'm going to believe in your goodness.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's something that stood out.
Thanks, Thanks, come on. Ellie, you got something to say? I know you do. Come and say. Ellie and Talita, come together. Okay, Ellie and Jack, come together.
I'll just stand.
No, just come. You'll be hosting.
Okay, I'm
going to
be confident.
Your brother stood there last week.
Yeah, no pressure. I'm not going to use that. What stood out for me and like following on from what you said is he said you can't just go back to a land of sinning because it has been destroyed. So like that whole thing, like often I'll think like, oh, now I'm sinning again. Like, what am I doing? I've crossed over again. But there's no line, like you've arrived and God is not judging you, like, pretty much.
Yes,
that's
sure.
So short.
Let's go. Before you start, I'm thanks, Daddy.
are all perfect, and I think that's something that everyone always says, no, we can't be, in design and purpose. And I think if we remember that as well, we think, well, what is our design and what is God's purpose for us? And don't, as you say, don't put yourself down the whole time. Be perfect, as God is perfect.
I want to read a scripture for you, Claire. Psalm 91. Oh. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. As I read, you can start to hype it up. And then I'm going to get to verse 12, and it's going to be for you, Claire. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers, which might be strange. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night.
Yes.
Oh. Nor the arrow that flies in the day. Wow.
It's good.
Great. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions, Claire, and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Firstly, I'd just like to apologize if you came and you wanted to hear Bible teaching. But at least we read a psalm. But it's quite profound, the teaching. And we've been hearing. It's great. It's like it's better than one message could ever have been, because it's all the pearls of many.
Yeah.
So it's great. I've been really overcome by a revelation of humanity standing forgiven. And that was great about Ben being here. Jesus came and took the sins of the world away.
Yes.
And that's just profound for me. That we are the persuaded of this truth, and that there are those who are on the brink of persuasion.
Yes.
And so we stand in the exact same position as the rest of humankind, forgiven. And it's quite progressive, maybe, maybe not. I'm enjoying the level of acceptance here, that's great. Could be controversial, because you could be seen to be preaching, so lie on the beach, there's no work to do, because everyone's saved. But there's a lot of work to do, there's a lot of persuading to do, as you have all been persuaded over many years of the Father's love for you. And so, go forth and persuade. That's what I'd like to say.
Yes.
Oh, Jackie.
So basically, what stood out the most for me with Ben Dunn was the fact that we were all jamming out at church, having such a good time, and it correlated. And the fact that he said that God wants us to have a good time. He doesn't want us to be all like righteous or try to pretend to be what we're not, because he made us the way we are and it is in his image. And then it also correlated kind of with what Gaz said a few weeks before about the fact that God wants to know about everything in our lives, not just the good stuff, like if it's a work problem. He wants to know about everything. And basically, especially first year of varsity, getting used to the freedom that I found, it's kind of hard to try and balance the two. So sometimes when you go out, you kind of think, oh, it's God, and you go, like you go out on a Saturday and church is the next day, you're like, oh no, I'm going out on a Saturday. But it's not going out that's bad, it's what you do when you go out that's bad, which was actually quite enlightening to hear. And then and then also the fact that and then also something that I've been, because Gaz told us, mentioned to us that it's good if we tell God about all our problems. Praying isn't like going down on your knees and saying, dear God, I want this, I want that, this is wrong, this is right. But it's more of having a conversation with him, like a best friend. So that was something that I've been like trying to do, that I was doing a lot. And then something that I came across was the fact that I felt, because I was speaking to Kath in the car on after last week, and after Ben Dunn, and she was telling me about this girl that she knew on a mercy ship that she walked into a room one day and all of a sudden this girl was crying her eyes out, saying that she couldn't hear God's voice anymore. And that just, it really struck me, because I don't feel like I can, and I really want to, because things go well when you're with God and you speak to him about everything. And then I realized to myself, but I hear the devil's voice more often. And I don't know how to explain it, but the thing is, the trick with the devil is his voice is disguised as your conscience. So it's the little thoughts that you have. Like I was, and I realize this now, especially I was sitting here and I really need the bathroom. And like I had heard this voice telling me, no, you can't go up, you can't go up, you need the bathroom. That's priority. And I realized, but that's not what God wants me to say, what I learned. And
yes,
that's going against everything that I've been going through. And the voice that's always the loudest, which is your conscience, we choose to tune into that voice. And it's not your conscience, it's not a rational thought, it's the devil that's taken over that part. And that's
No, last week we had such a marathon, so
awesome.
I hope you're wearing trainers. Just say, Brad is long-winded.
That is a long-winded marathon.
But if you want to leave at any time, we never lock the door. So feel free, at any time you won't offend us.
Hell is locked from the inside, I guess.
I think we're just going to spend some time in prayer and worshipping and praying for each other. A lot has been said. I think one of the things I would love Claire to come up and pray for the girls, anyone who wants to be prayed for, anyone who feels that really stuck out to them, stamping the stake on the head. That was awesome, Claire. Another thing I think we should pray for is I don't think my mother said to me this week, said you cannot say in church that depression is of the devil and you must just step out of it and you must, because it's not helpful. And I agree with her.
I agree with her too.
I agree with her. But I do think we should encourage each other and really tell each other who we are, so that we can, there's a truth in there that can be neglected because you don't want to be told, you don't want to be judged, you don't want to be, do you agree with me too, Kath? It's a very sensitive issue. Yes.
And I know a lot of people have been through really hard times, and it's
yes.
not because they're not a Christian, or they're not trusting God, or that they want Him in their life, or that they're not, you know, I think it's
very
controversial. They're different kinds,
yes.
you know, and some you know, I mean,
this is awesome.
About it, it upset me too, because they're people I love.
Yes.
So, pray for each
And that's, I'm standing with you in this camp. But I'm full faith that God can lift us out of our depression and quickly. Is that right, Kat?
It's
fine. So I'd love to.
Can I just say something there? That God is a God of joy, but sometimes we need to feel that way in order to be able to feel with other people. I don't think we should discard that feeling and call it bad just because it doesn't feel so happy and fuzzy.
Yeah.
It depends on how you treat it, whether you just go into it, nurse it, and submerge yourself in it and are unprepared to even move out of it. I think that is to be the difference between and where is it coming from, who really knows. It's not.
And
can I just say something?
Yes.
I was taught as a very early Christian with depression by a psychologist that was in my home group, and we were debating depression. And he said, and I love it, if you found out that you were a diabetic, would you take the insulin? Of course you would. So why, when we find out that we're depressed and we don't have enough of the serotonin in our body, because it was like at the time in the early 90s, the great thing about taking any tablets. So if you are on any medication, please don't go off it without the doctors.
Thank you.
But it's the same thing. There's often situational depression, which is because of your situation, or there is a chemical unbalance in your body. And I'm seeing Jack is starting it.
Thank you. One thing I said to my mother, it's that she used to be young and naive, as if it's going to change. My view of God's going to change, and I'm going to come down to this, picking up my cross daily and making it really work. And I said, I never want to be there. I never want to live like
this.
I want to live with seeing God as the way the Bible tells me it. And that's another thing I want to pray for us tonight. That I want to pray for us that we don't settle, and we don't look. Because these are the people I'm like, this person, that person, this person, that person. This is what happened to them. I don't want to look at other people and say, this is what happened in their lives. And that's the reason that maybe God isn't as good. But actually, what she's saying is God isn't as good as he says he is in the Bible. So I want us to believe in a church that's, I just feel like pictures up there of who God is. And we're looking up there. That's who God is. And that's who I want to.
Yes. Yes.
I'll sing.
Yes.
So Claire, I'd love you to come up. Anybody else? Let's all stand together.
I love that this healthy debate.
So
good. So good. Dear brother, please leave.
So Jesus, I just ask you now to reveal yourself to us. Father God, I just ask you to show us yourself in the most glorious way. Give us a new picture of yourself, God. I pray now the joy that you will come. Joy in the person of Jesus. Come now.
I can't do this without crying.
kicked the door right off, and they just like ransacked the whole house, and they just stole like everything that was of any value, like including like all of Dawn's stuff. And was like, they had all her like precious memories and like the stuff that's not replaceable. It's material stuff, but it's like stuff that we hold dear. But like the most amazing thing is that I have no like anger towards these guys. And the whole way home, like God, he was so good. Like he orchestrated that all five people that are staying at my house at the moment were not home when it happened, and they came home as the guys were in the house, like busy burglaring, like stealing everything. And like it was just by his grace that none of us were hurt. But like all the way home, when I was driving home, I was just like, God, no matter what these people have done, you, their father, you love them. And just like they don't even know that, you know. It's like my heart just like aches for these guys because they're so desperate and they don't even know who God is and they don't know how loved they are. Anyway, I just, but the fear that like automatically wants to rise up is just like, it's so like easy to let that happen. But I know that God never gave us a spirit of fear. And so, like, if you just would stand with me, this happened last year as well. And, like, I was so scared to just, like, sleep in my bed because every noise, I was like, oh, my word, they've come back, you know. And, like, I really believe that I have overcome that spirit of fear. And, yeah, just, like, for everybody else in my house, just stand with me against this. Like I will not live in fear, and I pray that Jesus, you'll forgive them. I forgive them for what they've done. I forgive them, Jesus. I plead your blood over them, and I pray, Jesus, that they would come to a place where they know you, and they know how loved they are by you. And yeah, if you guys could just stand in agreement that fear will not be welcome in that house. That house is a place that we worship God in. Yeah, sorry, I
couldn't
say that.
But
thank you.
Why don't, if anyone wants to go pray with Mandy and Dawn, just go there and we can lay hands on. Together, there's a sweetness in the spirit here with us, and the Lord loves it when we join heaven. So I feel to say to those of you that have never done this, I chose this song purposely, and have never done this, go for a walk. don't walk by, don't walk by. Don't walk by, don't walk by, don't walk by. Take a moment. Don't allow me. We get to live with us. Yeah.
of the warrior, the clear the prayer warriors is here in front. Come for prayer for her or for any other reason, come forward. Yeah, the floor is open.
Thank you. Thank you. rain.